Come on, Emma. Liam leaned on the counter, all werewolf sexy GQ. His golden brown hair tussled, but not in a bedhead sort of way. More like he'd been running his hands through it in frustration. The two-day stubble along his chin was perfect, as was his body of all lean muscle and tensile strength. He wore a black long-sleeve t-shirt that clung to him like a second skin, and faded blue jeans. His black leather jacket and motorcycle helmet resided on the bar stool next to him. His mismatched eyes, one blue and one green, assessed me from the hair falling out of my haphazard bun, the coffee stain above my left boob, to the cuffs of my fraying jeans. It was clear from the way he looked at me that he didn't see the hodgepodge of flaws, only the obstinate half-fey female standing in his way. That roguish smile made a cameo, and my knees went a little weak. I half expected him to say, "Hey, little girl, what if I huff and puff and blow all your clothes off?" I was so lost in the stupid fantasy that I missed what he actually said. "Come again?" He gave me a one-shoulder shrug. "What will one date hurt?" I didn't have to answer. I took the large black ceramic mug from off the counter and brought it over to the copper tubs that housed the coffee that I knew Liam liked the best. The Arabic brew was much like Liam, tall, strong, and dangerous if you overindulged. Fantasy was one thing. I had to live in the reality where the charming and persistent alpha could annihilate my future. It can hurt our professional relationship. I inhaled the alluring scent of coffee that permeated the air in the magical place I'd come to love. Hard to believe when taking in the polished chrome tables, plush oversized booth seats, and the soft glow of the Edison bulbs ensconced in funky industrial lamps, that a few months ago, Java Have Mercy was an abandoned Italian restaurant. Liam had transformed it into the premier place in Manhattan to meet a real, live werewolf. Like the one who kept hounding me for a date. I set the mug down in front of him. "You're my boss." "So?" He picked up the coffee and inhaled deeply. He didn't close his eyes, though. All that intense focus was still trained on me. I snagged a bar towel and turned to wipe down the tables. "And my landlord?" Liam sipped his coffee, then repeated, "So?" For a smart guy, he sure could be dense. "So, what if things go sideways? Where will that leave me? Jobless and homeless. Again. Been there, done that, not interested in going back to living that way." I turned one of the ladder back chairs up on a table. Liam set his coffee down and got up to help. "I wouldn't put you out. You're my mate." It took effort not to roll my eyes as I reached for the broom. "And that and $5 will pay for coffee and a scone. Well, maybe a day-old scone. This was Manhattan." "You're not taking me seriously," Liam pressed. It was an effort not to throw my hands up in the air. "How can I? I don't even know what the whole mate thing means." "Then let me explain it to you. Over dinner." I made an impatient sound. "Liam!" Over on the counter, his phone started playing Moondance, Saved by Van Morrison. Gotta love a timely Irishman. Unfortunately, Liam didn't leap on the distraction. It rang again. I tilted my head toward the song. "Aren't you gonna get that?" He ignored the sound and moved closer. He didn't touch me. Liam knew more about my past than almost anyone. He knew casual touching often wigged me out. "You wanna know what being my mate means? It means when we are in the middle of a conversation, I won't allow any distractions to divert my attention from you. You come first, Emma. Always." My lips parted, but for once, I didn't have a quip at the ready.